Call the meeting to order.
Rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Coke.
Here.
Colosimo.
Present.
Clocher.
Here.
Leschuski.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Hernandez.
Here.
Quorum is established.
All right, do we have any amendments to tonight's agenda?
I would like a poll number four, please.
Okay.
Any objection? All right, moving on, we have a couple of presentations for this evening. First, we have a proclamation for library director. Outgoing is Michelle Pfister. I'm going to apologize in advance. I've had bifocals on for a total of 2 hours. So if I fall over, I apologize. It's not you, it's me. Michelle, you want to come on up?
I have a proclamation for you. I'm Joel. Nice to meet you. Congratulations on your journey. I actually have two for you, but I don't want to bring you here for some of them selling something. I'm totally cool with that if I want to get into that. All right, so you have been a city employee from 1974 to 2017 and have served as a library director since 1996. And whereas she is a dedicated member of the community and has been a committed advocate for library services and was focused on efficient use of public resources for the service population. And whereas Michelle Pfister has been director of the library from 1996 to present and has been a strong voice in support of the library, its mission, and its staff. And whereas the Yorkville City Council, the Yorkville Library Board, the Yorkville Friends of the Library, and residents are most grateful for the contributions she has made throughout her years of public service. Now, therefore, I, Gary J. Galinsky, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, do hereby honor Michelle Pfister for 42 years of loyal and dedicated service, and I would like to extend my personal best wishes upon her retirement and for continued success in life's pursuits. Today is 23rd day of May, 2017, AD. Sandy Lindblom. Now you only have 20 minutes.
Because I only have half as many years in.
Well, you have the most text that I'm going to read. Sandy, who served on the library board from June 1996 till April of 2017. Confirmed tonight.
Yes.
Okay. You served as the vice president of the board from 2000 to 2001.
Maybe.
Okay. You served as the secretary from 2006 to 2007.
Maybe.
Okay. You served as the treasurer 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017.
Amen.
So a thank you wouldn't go far enough, but honestly, thank you very much for standing up for the library. I'm going to read your certificate of recognition. And I'm going to read it again for everyone else who's getting that honor. So certificate of appreciation. The Mayor and City Council of the United City of Yorkville present the certificate to Sandy Lindblom with our deepest gratitude for the time she volunteered to our library board from June 1996 through April 2017, presented this 23rd day of May 2017. Now you have 15 minutes to speak.
More planned, but I'll do what I can.
Nice to meet you. So Beth, you served in the library board from May 2005 until February 2017? Okay.
Yes.
There's no lies.
Sounds good.
You served as president of the board for fiscal year 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2016. And you served as secretary of the board in the fiscal year 2010.
If you say so. Probably.
We greatly appreciate your service, and I will again read the certificate of appreciation. The Mayor and City Council of the United City of Yorkville present the certificate to Beth Ambrose with our deepest gratitude for the time she volunteered to our library board from May 2005 through February 2017, presented this 23rd day of May 2017. Clara. 10 minutes,
please. That's plenty.
I'm Joel.
Nice to meet you, Joel.
All right, so Barb, you served on the library board from February 2007 to April 2017.
Correct.
You served as vice president of the board for fiscal year 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017.
Correct.
How does that make you feel?
No, I guess good.
That's
guess.
A lot of work. We greatly appreciate that.
I was just glad I wasn't
present. You always got your own. Every episode. I feel you. So I'm going to read the certificate of appreciation. The Mayor and City Council of the United City of Yorkville present the certificate to Barb Johnson with our deepest gratitude for the time she volunteered to our library board from February 2007 through April 2017. So it's the 23rd day of May 2017. Thank you.
Moving on. I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Roll call.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Kilshewski.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Pope.
Aye.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Oh, can I do that now? Since I'm a newbie, would anyone have any citizens' comments regarding items that are on the agenda this evening? Moving on, my apologies. So then we go to
minutes for approval.
All right, so minutes of approval, regular city council, April 25th, 2017. Any comments? Regarding the minutes?
Need a second, and so moved.
All right. All in favor of approving the minutes as proposed?
Aye.
Good.
Thank you. Thought I was new.
Yeah, no, not you.
You forgot to say signify by saying that.
Oh,
I was waiting for that.
I'll get the lingo by the time it's over. So then we move on to Mayor's Report.
Mayor's Report. Bills for payment is just informational.
All right, so informational. Thank
mayor's
you for the
report
help.
Is next.
All right, on the Mayor's Report, we have a motion to approve an ordinance approving an amendment to the development agreement between the city and GC Housing Development LLC.
You missed number one, required report.
Aha. The informational item, there is no motion necessary.
Yes.
Did we have a motion on the approval of minutes?
That was the...
That
wasn't unanimous. I was the voice. Yes.
Was the motion
made?
Satisfactory.
Okay. I didn't catch you had that.
Should we go back and do a
do-over?
No, we're fine.
Okay.
As long as the record shows everything was there.
Right.
All right, so under the mayor's report, first one, I apologize, I skipped as an informational item with no motion necessary, but it is the required reporting to municipality by the Police Pension Fund Board. Any comments or concerns on that? All right. So moving on to the second in the mayor's report. A motion to approve an ordinance approving an amendment to a development agreement between the city and GC Housing Development LLC and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
You asked for the motion. It's yours, yeah. I'm going to make the motion. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
All right, any comments on this one? Anyone?
The reason this is being passed is because typically when there's $2,000 or more federal funding, it goes to the federal, maybe it's they can act for the Illinois.
Thank you, Joe. Any further comment? All right, roll call, please.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Tarullis.
Aye.
Golosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the code of...
Public Works.
Yep. I'm Public Works. Sure. I make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the code of ordinances regulating on-street parking, the Whispering Meadows parking restrictions, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
May we ask one of you to make the motion since Joe is acting as chair tonight?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay.
All right, any comments?
I guess I'd like to know what the alderman for that ward decided they wish to do, because I will vote accordingly to what the alderman in that ward wished to do.
Thank you. Chris and myself have gone back and forth. The immediate issue is along Allendale. During baseball games and throughout the weekend, it can get pretty packed back there. We've had concerns about plows hitting mirrors, but more importantly, can we fit a fire truck down the street if so needed? So one of the issues on the table was to both McMurtry and Allendale, and because the people that received the letters regarding the parking ban on McMurtry were vocal against it, whereas everyone on Allendale was for it, I had requested through discussing it with Chris if we could split those two up. If there becomes a need to address the parking on McMurtry, we at least know which side would immediately be stricken as far as parking goes, the restriction, which would always be either the north or the east side where the fire hydrants are right now. So Chris and I had kind of talked through it. He's still in favor of doing both. Just based on previous parking bans like the one in Autumn Creek, I thought it would make more sense to let the people who live there dictate when that timeline would start for their ban. So as it stands right now, I am asking that we just focus our ban on Allendale.
And I'll concur with Alderman Frieder's comments there. We see spot on. As mentioned, I do feel that McMurtry would be good to have the ban in place. As you know, we're going to ban parking on Allendale. It's going to push the traffic up there, but the only residents that had any comments were the three that were against parking on McMurtry. So with that, I will defer and allow us to deal with that one later.
Anyone else?
So wait, this is the state of Illinois. People are listening to their constituents?
It's strange, but I mean, it's just right around the corner from my house, and that's where we normally walk the kids. I usually pass out halfway to the park because it's so long from the road. But we're hoping that people will park along Faxon, since Faxon has no houses on it and goes on forever. But we do understand that there's going to be a learning curve. We just want people to understand that if you have all of the parking relegated to one side, it's going to fill up faster, so please drop off your children, park over on Faxon, and enjoy a half hour, 45 minute walk where your children are with you. Any other comments? Roll call.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Aye. Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Tarullis.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, moving on. Since this is another public works, I'll read it and then if one of you can make a motion if you so choose. I request a motion to approve an ordinance proposing the establishment of a special service area number 2017-1 and providing for other procedures in connection therewith, proceed with living, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved. Second.
Any comments?
Just to point out, this is a backup SSA for maintenance at the common areas of the property. That's its sole purpose.
And it's not a residential SSA, which I petitioned to rename to something sweet like Janus, but SSA is the terminology they were using, and that's what we're stuck with. Any other comments on this? Roll call.
Cook?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Fritters?
Aye.
Torulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Nalschewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, so the public works that was pulled off consent. We need a motion to approve the ADA transition plan and professional services agreement for preliminary engineering and to authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Okay.
Second. The reason I pulled it off, I just had a question about the public route breach of the scope. I know in the engineering contract, it is an exclusion on the contract. It states that, again, the memo talks about, discussion, talks about the fact that we would internally post it online and solicit information or comments on it. I know that the transition plan does require public engagement. It's very broad in terms of what that means. What would we be looking to do to reach out to the community to solicit the information? Are we just going to post it? Are we going to try to actually get engagement or feedback? The reason I ask is this is an issue that does facilitate mobility for a very small class of the public. But it is very important that I think that we adequately and appropriately reach out to the community. So, with the exclusion from that in the engineering, what is the city's plan for us to engage the community?
Well, I think we can use not only our website or our social media. I know our social media gets a lot of community outreach through a lot of different generations that are using this plan in particular for ADA access throughout the city. So I think that would be a big push going forward with the community process at the beginning, middle, and end. And then we follow up, pushing out those notifications and where we find the plan, where they can get the information.
I would not like to see we must get to the very end, solicit information at the end. I would like it to be an involved, ongoing process where throughout the different phases we are soliciting that input. I want to be as proactive as we can on this. This is obviously something, once we do this, the recommendations for remediation are, it's going to be what we use going forward. It's going to be an expensive plan that we put in place. So I just want to make sure that we are thinking about that, even though it's not included in the engineering agreement, that the city is making sure that we are going to do that.
Absolutely.
Well, I was just going to say, the study's comprehensive, whether we have public outreach or not. They're going to check all transition points within the city.
Correct.
That's the whole point of the, so whether somebody reports it or doesn't report it, or has a concern or doesn't have a concern, they're all going to be checked.
Still going to be the priority.
And if I can, it's not a matter of the actual assessment of the transitions throughout the city. It's the engagement of how are we going to facilitate the ongoing reporting of issues. If somebody has a grievance against the city about a transition in the future, something that wasn't done, that type of a process, the engagement with the community on what we should be doing, what the expectations of the plan are, and how the city should be implementing. That's the engagement that I'm doing, not the actual
like self-reporting.
The self-reporting, and that's kind of what I want to look at here, is making sure that that's addressed in the plan.
And in that particular report, is there going to be like a, I know we're going to have a list of every particular transition that will require a repair, but are you going to address it kind of like Road to Better Road, where you have a hierarchy, a triage list of what you want to hit first when funds become available?
I'm sure that's the way the list will be put together.
Okay.
Because when they say, oh yeah, it's having a transition, it doesn't really give you much room to work with. You have to kind of pick and choose how you start.
But I do believe the requirements from feds do say that they have to have a plan in place for mitigation, for the remediation of place. Is that correct? Right?
Correct.
Yeah. Will this do anything on the assessment of transitions to access to all of our public facilities, to the actual doorways? I know that this is a transition for the actual curbs, intersection between street and sidewalk or street trails. Will this address any of the transitions that go from the public way to public buildings? Or would we have to address that separately in a separate study?
It would be a separate report.
Because I know
separate study.
That's one of the part of the whole study that you're looking to transitions. We're doing a very isolated part of it, which is just the curbs. I know you can get into the bigger one of the actual transition into the buildings, actual buildings themselves. I didn't know if we were going to reach out to expand just the actual access into buildings.
Not for this one.
Okay.
Isn't that part of the other study that we're doing in all of the city's buildings?
They're touching on it, but it's not an actual ADA study.
Okay.
That's just a building study. But that's something that we, at some point, should be doing, because that is part of the requirement as well, is to address buildings. Would that be correct? We don't know. Okay. Thank you.
Any further comment? Roll call, please.
Freeders?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Pelosina?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Blocher?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Again, I'm going to be requesting a motion to approve an ordinance amending the Yorkville zoning ordinance by adding the definition of health and fitness club / center and adding such use as permitted uses in the B2, B3, B4, and M1 zoning districts and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Any comments?
Who's seconded?
Second.
Thank you.
All right. If there's no comments, roll call.
Plutcher?
Aye.
Raiders?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Pelosina?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
Nay? Milshewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Should pass.
All right, no city council report, any city clerk's report?
No report.
Any community liaison reports? Any staff reports? All right, any additional business? No executive session. Any citizen comments on items that are not on the agenda?
In all fairness, there was some agitators there, but in all fairness, it was an 80-20 rule. 20% of your people make creating 80% of the problems. And I got to see what the police have to endure. The intimidation, the verbal abuse, and I also got to watch how the press makes a big deal out of nothing. I watched one reporter from ABC7 standing in front of the police, and I took a photograph of her, so I have it on record, trying to say that there was this big, huge tension between the protesters and the police, and there wasn't. There just wasn't. And I just wanted to say, over the last 3 years, 3 years ago, I was diagnosed as a diabetic. So I'm on a special diet, and I have to walk. And so I love to walk. I walk in the evenings, and I walk a lot. And during that time of my walks, there's some things that I have found. My experience, which has had me have several encounters with the Yorkville police. And I'll just tell you, the one time I was on the ground doing a photo shot, it was the only way I could take it, and a police officer stopped and asked if I was okay. He didn't ask what I was doing. He didn't ask to look at my camera without a warrant or anything. He just wanted to make sure that I was all right. There have been several times that I haven't been able to sleep at night. Sometimes I'm walking around the industrial park at 11 o'clock at night, just making my rounds and walking. And the police stop. They don't ask me for an ID or anything. They just want to make sure that I'm okay, that I'm all right, and there's nothing wrong. Another time, I found an ID, a driver's license, a FOID card, $100 bill, a bunch of credit cards and everything, and I was able to call the police. And the officer came and everything. She took everything and she returned it to its rightful owner, Shelly Mott. And she never harassed me or anything, asked me where I got it or anything. I was very comfortable talking to her. Another time I found open windows. I also found drug needles, and the police have been right there every time I've called them, and they've always said thank you for them, for calling these things to their attention. And I know I criticize the government a lot. It's my job just because I see what's going on. And I think James Madison said it all. It's easier to tear down bad government than to build good government. And I think once in a while I have to come back to my senses and do tell people when they're doing a good job. And so I just wanted to say our Yorkville police are the best. I want to tell Chief Hart, you've done an excellent job. And if ever any civil leader or anything wants to see what a good police department looks like, they should come down and work with our Yorkville police. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Jesse. All right, before we adjourn, I know this is going to seem highly strange. I just wanted to share something personal to kind of pay respect to the chair that I'm sitting in. And I'm going to read it, so I wrote it out so I can jibber jabber. But I never imagined I would earn this opportunity to sit in the chair legitimately. While some kind of assume that my casual approach to discussing these issues of the city somehow diminishes or underscores my love for Yorkville, I'll have you know I take this stuff as serious as the love I hold for my wife, Julie. And anyone who knows me knows that I love that woman more than everything combined and multiplied times a trillion. So in keeping with the esteem and respect this chair has earned on behalf of Mayor Galinsky, who I admire greatly, I wanted to share something personal as it directly relates to the health of my community, since I don't think it's been discussed from this chair in recent memory. This topic might be difficult for me to articulate, and I apologize in advance for any words that might come up wrong, so bear with me for just a second and we can get the hell out of here. On Mother's Day, May 10th, 2003, my friend Fossil Dereji hung himself in a house I had shared with him in college. Every year since his death on May 10th, I am somehow subconsciously reminded of him and luckily able to be slapped in the face with memories of what he meant and still means to me. When I was still in my 20s, May 10th might have included drinking too much or calling in sick to work or staying in bed. But as I got older, I would randomly call old friends who also went to college with him, not really to talk about him so much as just to hear their voice for a few minutes. We would remember, or sort of remember, through Fossil to try to remember each other as we get older and busier and farther apart from where we were when he decided to end his life. This year, among all of the things going on in my life, I unintentionally forgot to remember my friend on May 10th, and it's been eating me up pretty bad. I forgot to acknowledge, even only to myself, that specific time period in my life that has impacted the rest of my life so much. I forgot my friend on the day he decided it was his day to forget the rest of us. And while I still cry thinking about him hanging on the back of the very same door I used to draw inappropriate pictures on, and I'm angry with him for not calling me or any one of the hundreds of friends we had a common talk, I want to do all that I can to make sure no one else ever has to hold these same feelings inside of them.
as I and the rest of my friends who love fossils still do. So I'm formally and publicly asking that if you ever are in a place where you consider harming yourself or anyone else due to the things you feel are beyond your control, to call me before you act upon those thoughts. The world might suck sometimes when you're around, but without you, it would most definitely suck. My friends at Suicide Prevention, their phone number is 630-482-9696. If you see someone struggling or notice a change in someone and you're concerned about them, find them, ask them what's up, and look them in the eye and ask them how they're doing. And if you don't like to ask people how they are, simply offering up a big hug can go a long way. Your concern or your amazing hug might just divert someone's attention away from their internal monologue that might have narrowly approached a road they can't turn around on. We need to not be afraid to talk about suicide, because I can 100% assure you it is much more difficult to talk about after the fact than it is just to get that crap out there in the open before. Also, I will admit selfishly, I just wanted to publicly state his name so his friends and family know that we haven't and will not forget. Fossil Derege, meeting adjourned.